There are certain names in the great pantheon of Star Wars characters that are almost bigger than the characters themselves, but none so much as the infamous bounty hunter Boba Fett. From the humblest of character beginnings to near legendary status among the Star Wars devoted, few characters have inspired so much intrigue and fervor. When it was announced that, following his brief but effective supporting role in The Mandalorian Season 2, he'd receive his own Disney Plus series, it seemed like this character was finally getting his much-deserved time in the spotlight. But as it became more and more apparent with each episode, this was not the case. We'll be talking about that and much more on this episode of Script or Screen.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another wonderful edition of Script or Screen, your number one source for TD. I can't keep doing this. Your number one source for treating your title character with less respect than a hibernation blind Han Solo with a big stick. I'm one of your co-hosts, Christopher Kitchen, alongside my other co-host, Zach, a one-shot Strackman.
That's me.
How you doing, Zach? How are we today?
I'm good. I'm dusting off all this sand because of my sandy environment that I keep being brought to, even though there's so many better places to go to, but I still somehow end up here every time.
Did we almost forget that there's like a vacation planet called Scarif? It's legitimately like nice beaches and sun.
It's also the planet of like giant Vietnam-style warfare. And
yeah.
I thought Canto Bight was the vacation planet. We're back. We're back. Script or Screen. Lovely listeners to another exciting episode.
We are nice and slippery from our back to tanks. We are in it to win it.
Oh my God. We're back with our eternal dad bods and...
Yikes.
It's Star Wars again. We're here for another Star Wars. Chris, I believe I am correct in quoting us as saying that you and I, maybe more so you than I, but both of us, I feel, we're hoes for Star Wars.
We do be a couple of little hoes for Star Wars. Nothing, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I gotta say, it's a wonderful time to be one because there's so much
of
it.
Is it?
Listen, as long as they're gonna keep making stuff, I mean, I'm in it. It's just, they need to make it worth our while. Now, for the uninitiated and for the reinitiated, welcome back to Script or Screen. Every week we try to release a new episode about some TV, some movie, some topical conversation pieces. You can find us on our website at scriptorscreen.com or anchor.fm/scriptorscreen. Find us on social media at scriptorscreen. Go check out our old episodes, future episodes, and the current episode you're listening to right now, available on all your favorite platforms. Leave us a like, leave us a comment, share us with your friends. You know the drill. I drill you guys every single time, you know, and I'm tired of drilling. I just, but it's my job. We got to do this. I love it. I'm tired. I like one Robert Fettuccini.
Exactly. You know, it's time for a paradigm shift. Actually, I hope you like where we're at in the Star Wars universe, because we're not going away anytime soon. Because no. They just announced May 25th, 2022 will be the premiere of one Obi-Wan Kenobi, the series. Which, listen, I'm holding out hope for. It's gonna be a good offering in the great Star Wars track record. But Ewan McGregor's back. What more could you want? Hayden Christensen, Joel Edgerton, they're all back.
They're all back.
My question is this: how much is going to be set on Tatooine? Because dear God, am I tired of Tatooine?
You're having a bit of sun fatigue.
Exactly. I will say this. This is interesting. I was reading an interview with Ewan McGregor where he said, I believe, unless I read wrong, he and Hayden Christensen will be doing roles as Obi-Wan and Anakin mid or prior to Revenge of the Sith? Maybe some Clone Wars?
a la Clone Wars?
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
I mean, I welcome it. At the same time, I just don't know anymore. And I'll give more of my thoughts on the series after the fact. I did, you know, we got a release of a poster along with the date.
Yes.
And certainly tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, and obviously we're recording this. It'll be published after Super Bowl comes out.
Yes.
So here's our reaction if the trailer comes out. Oh, wow, this looks really interesting.
Wow, it sure is more Tatooine.
So at any rate, you know, we'll see.
You know, you know what I like to see with this, though, what I'm seeing and I'm liking, is according to the greatest source on the internet, as you say, Wikipedia, the series will consist of only 6 episodes, and we'll get back to this when we dig into what we're actually talking about, because I feel like so many shows don't need to be as long as they are.
I just want to shout out to, like, our next, you know, content. There's actually this incredible limited series that we had just watched, Zach. Only 4 episodes long.
4 episodes. And it was perfect.
It was perfect. You didn't need any more, didn't need any less. You're just good to go.
Yep.
And I really appreciated that. I'm sure, you know, everyone else can appreciate that at times. I know we all love this, like, this idea of instant gratification and all these things. We want everything. We want it now, you know. But, you know, everybody, let's just pace ourselves.
Exactly.
We got to remember, Star Wars is a money-making machine. There will be plenty for years to come.
Exactly. And, you know, right now we're looking at this new series that came to Disney Plus, The Book of Boba Fett. The series that, you know, I think, If you look at the conversations online, you would think that this series is probably the greatest thing ever created since Star Wars. A lot of people are doing that bad fan thing of liking something just for the pure fan ball tickling. You know what I mean? For anyone listening, we are going full spoilers for Book of Boba Fett in this episode. You know, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Come back.
Stop living under a rock if you haven't seen it. Jeez.
Yes, seriously. How have you not had this whole series spoiled for you yet? But but I will just say the reactions I see online are exceedingly positive. Like, people...
I'll tell you what, Zach. I'm actually impressed about the current Rotten Tomatoes sitting of the season.
What is it?
In both scales. So the tomato meter for the season one is at a 73% fresh, and I'm like, one, that's bullshit. But what's more impressive is the audience score sitting at a very mild 61%, and I am actually more surprised that that is the case and it's not, like, way higher or something like that. And I'm actually super happy that it's at where it's at. I might be reaching, but I almost feel like it could be lower.
Yeah, no, I guess we'll just kind of cut right to the chase. Chris, two or three sentences, what did you think of The Book of Boba Fett season one?
Two or three sentences or two or three words?
Well, your choice.
In two or three sentences, the Boba Fett is just another reason why Lucasfilm and Disney have no idea what the hell they're doing with the Star Wars franchise and its characters.
Boom.
And we are about to discuss those over the course of the next hour.
Chris, I wish I could agree with you. I wish I shared your opinion. I wish that I felt the same way.
Wish granted.
And I do. if I had a tagline for this whole season, and especially the finale, it would be too little, too late.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's unfortunate.
To anyone out there who's saying this is the best thing Star Wars has ever offered us, I'd say, what do you consider good?
But I mean, we're not just gonna, you know, drop all this, you know, stuff on you, this nonsense about why it was not what we as film enthusiasts and television enthusiasts like come to like. But there's also just I feel like a fundamental issue with the show that led to its our kind of more negative leaning thoughts about it. And I think we have a pretty good, you know, wider range of critiques for it, as well as like some positives or suggestions on how they could maybe course correct for the better, you know, future of, you know, the rest of Star Wars properties. Just because it just seems that with this is only their second live action outing, there's still time to kind of make adjustments with this. You know, they have all these other programs, you know, announced to be released in the next few years, and they really need to start honing in on what makes them so important. As like a franchise, and like also like how to not, you know, make the same mistakes in the future.
I totally agree. I think one thing I always try to do when it comes to anything I like, any form of entertainment I like, is to, you know, try to find the positives in it and be excited for it because it's something I'm a fan of. And I am not immune to fan service.
Yeah.
Especially if it's done well. But what I try to do is I don't let my fan desires or things where I'm like, that would be cool, blind me from seeing the faults with something. So, for example, I am a huge Cowboy Bebop fan. We did a whole episode, check it out, for Cowboy Bebop the anime. And I was cautiously optimistic, and I was about the Netflix live-action series, and I was defending it up until its release of, like, just wait until it comes out. Listen, I'm a huge fan. I want to stand by this. When it came out...
We were almost going to do an episode on the live-action.
We almost were, and then it was Nutbags. Sorry, that's a bad joke. It's a line from the live-action show. Anyway, but I wasn't like, oh, I like this. I like what this is based off, so I'm going to defend this, you know. It gave me something cool, so I'm not going to acknowledge its weak points. I'm only going to acknowledge what it gets right. I like Star Wars. I like certain aspects of this show where I'm like, yeah, that is cool. Is it a good show? No.
That's the unfortunate part.
But let's dig into it. Do you want to find... Chris, I have a challenge for you. Here we go. Can you find the most misleading synopsis for Book of Boba Fett?
That's actually really good. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that's a nice challenge.
While you search, I'm going to give...
I have a series info kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, a la Rotten Tomatoes. It says, on the sands of Tatooine, bounty hunter Boba Fett and mercenary Fennec Shand navigate the galaxy's underworld and fight for Jabba the Hutt's old territory.
You know what? That's pretty good, because that's not what the show is about at all.
No, I don't think so.
We're good with that.
Also, I like how they point out that bounty hunter Boba Fett and mercenary Fennec Shand went... Fennec Shand was definitely also a bounty hunter, I feel like, at times.
There is no difference, except that a mercenary is just a gun for hire.
I feel like...
Bounty hunter is just more independent, I guess? I don't know.
I'm not quite sure. But yeah, it's not great. You know, and then let's kind of think to ourselves where we last saw this character, you know, about a year ago, ending season 2 of Mando... just really awesome character, came in, got his armor, kicked ass against the Empire. You know, we saw like the
two standout episodes.
Exactly. We saw the formerly known as Slave One fire spray ship do its you know, bomb drop and made the noise. Sonic,
yeah.
Exactly. It was awesome. And then come the end of the season, we get post credit scene.
Bib Boba Fortuna. Fett,
annihilates Bib Fortuna, gets him out of the chair, and then he's like taking the throne.
And can I say, I said, he gets two solid episodes. two solid episodes where he's not the focus. He's just a really cool side character in that. And that's important to say because that's going to be a big point of contention going forward here.
Mm-hmm.
So when we left him off, he had his Totally Not a Slave 1. Fennec Shand was there.
Zach, we should just start calling it the starship formerly known as Slave 1.
Yeah, exactly. It's the prince of the Star Wars vehicle world. But now we're in this new show, picking up basically right where the ending that post-credit scene left off. Let's talk about behind the camera, and then we'll talk in front of the camera. So this show originally ran from December 29th to February 9th, 2022. It just ended a few days ago to some applause and some kind of tired sighs. I would say a lukewarm reception for the finale. Whole series was created by Jon Favreau. Directed, various episodes were directed by Robert Rodriguez, Steph Green, Kevin Tancharen, sorry if I mispronounced the name, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Dave Filoni. Music by Ludwig Göransson. Cinematography by Dean Cundey, David Klein, and Paul Hewen. And distributed by Disney Plus. And I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. This sounds a whole lot like
The Mandalorian. This sounds real familiar.
This sounds really familiar. And that's because I'm going to jump ahead to one of my earliest notes down to this is one of the worst things about this show is even from like the beginning, which is like, you know, before any of the other stuff that we're going to talk about kicks in from the first episode, this show does not have its own identity. It is styled in almost every conceivable way to match The Mandalorian in terms of presentation. The cuts to the title cards, the music, the way the music's used, the way that the end credits are put against concept art. I don't know if there was like a mandate with Lucasfilm that they're like, this is how we're doing our shows, but it just felt like right from the get-go, they're like, no, this is Mandalorian light, or this is, you know, this is Mandalorian adjacent.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, even on their Wikipedia page, it says that, I forgot who said it, maybe it was Jon Favreau, that they treated this series like Mandalorian Season 2.5.
Ugh.
And I'm like, wow, you really hit the nail on the head with that one. It definitely felt like that. But then at the same time, why did you just not make this into Mandalorian Season 2 or into Mandalorian Season 3? Like,
later on, we'll get into, like, I have some, like, key questions as to, like, the very nature of this show. But let's talk about the cast. We have returning, obviously, Temuera Morrison, the man himself, as Boba Fett. Long-standing Star Wars alumni, dating all the way back to 2002's Attack of the Clones. We have Ming-Na Wen coming back from The Mandalorian as Fennec Shand. Do we want to go ahead and list that other character? I guess we're doing full spoilers. Pedro Pascal as Din Djarin, a.k.a. The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
David Pesquesi as literally a Twi'lek. He doesn't get a name throughout the entire run, even though he's in more episodes than Boba Fett. Jennifer Beals as Garsa Fwip. She's another Twi'lek, but she gets a name. I don't know why the first guy doesn't get a name.
Yeah.
Carrie Jones as Black Kersantan. Sophie Thatcher as Drash. Danny Trejo as the Rancor Trainer. Emily Swallow back from Mandalorian as the Armorer. Amy Sedaris back as Pelimoto. Timothy Oliphant as Cobb Vanth. Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. Corey Burton as Cad Bane. And Mark Hamill, the legend himself, back as Luke Deepfaker. I mean, Skywalker, sorry.
There's like a lot of, you know, on that last one, there's a lot of controversy because was it actually Mark Hamill or just his likeness? because of this now newly computer-generated voice that they've come up with.
It's a good question. I know what you're thinking.
I have a, great adjustment.
Okay, let's see. Mark Hamill.exe.
Exe. As
Luke Skywalker. I love it. I love it. But I know what you're thinking, listeners, Chris. I know what you're thinking when you look at the back half of that cast list is, gosh, this doesn't seem to be about Boba Fett very much, does it?
Oh, I guess that is what I'm thinking.
So let's talk, I guess, now about the show itself. And I kind of broke this up into three sections. We have the first four episodes, the following two episodes, and then the finale.
And the finale.
Right.
So I'm gonna kind of lift us off here, Zach, if you will.
Please do.
My biggest fear going to the show is, you know, how Temuera Morrison was going to be as like the leading man, if this were in fact his leading show. And I feel like the first episode introduced some, you know, a cool idea that I didn't realize they were going to explore how he got to where he was. It just I don't know why in the back of my head I just never thought of it, but we got that, and it was a little surprising. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going flashbacks between the escaping of the Sarlacc pit to like now, you know, what's going on in his daimyo days or his claim to fame, and I thought that was like an interesting premise, not exactly what I was looking for. What's weird is that it's almost like he was picking up the pieces of a fallen empire. Also, 5 years too late. Like, Jabba's been dead for how long at this point?
About 5 years. I wanted to touch on this.
I guess before Tuno was holding it up.
Yeah. I wanted to touch real fast, kind of like what you said, where he's kind of, you know, we are kind of shown the time between Return of the Jedi and Book of Boba Fett / The Mandalorian, where we get to see what he's been up to. And right from the get-go, we get this, we see how he got out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
We see this brutal struggle of him to get out. But when his helmet comes off, it's old Temuera Morrison, and I just Googled it. Logically, at the time of Return of the Jedi, when he got out of the Sarlacc pit, or I should say, at the Return of the Jedi, when he fell into the Sarlacc pit, he was 36 years old. Why does he look like shit? Like, that's the thing listen, I like Temuera Morrison. I think he's a good actor, but, like, he's an older dude. And, like, why? Like, listen, digital de-aging is a thing. They do it all the time now. Like, why does he look like an older man when he should be 36?
Well, you know, I want to say that he hadn't had the benefit of getting a shower for a while.
How long was he in the Sarlacc? Did they say how long he was in the Sarlacc pit for?
That is, like, one of my biggest complaints, is that we don't have an exact timestamp. If it was, like, a couple hours, if that's later in the evening on the eve of the Empire's falling, or if it's been, like, a week or, like, a couple days, or what's been happening.
I don't think he was in there for 5 years.
That 100% agree. I'm like, there's no way in hell he was in there for five
years. He would have just, like, starved to death. Unless or the Sarlacc,
like the acid of the Sarlacc's belly, like were to dissolve him or something, I just can't imagine that.
Well, no, that takes 1,000 years. So,
whatever, dude.
The point is, yeah, the whole internal logic of that is kind of wonky.
Temuera Morrison is twice the age that he should have been.
Yeah, it's just listen. I like Temuera Morrison. I think when he came up in The Mandalorian, it was cool. I was like, dude, this is him, and he had some great moments in that. So I'm not like Temuera Morrison is not the problem here, but yeah. I think it's how they utilize him.
Yeah,
Ming-Na Wen, she's fine as Fennec Shand. She's always kind of got this like confident swagger about her, but she's never been an interesting character, and like she's his number two, but at the end of the day, she's not given anything to flesh her character out, to make her more interesting. I think she had one decent line in the finale when the mods thank her, and she's like, oh, we got some manners and stuff, and I'm like, okay, but I mean, like
yeah, there was no real character development.
there's no real character development. It's kind of but so my problem with these first four episodes mainly is that they work as a framing device of like what happened to Boba Fett in the time between Return of the Jedi and now, lots of flashbacks, and none of it is interesting.
You know, yeah, they're like bits and pieces that I liked. Like the Tusken Raider stuff was interesting. You know, to see that he's kind of now has to become part of this society after being put into like the ringer and just like, you know, he had to prove himself that he was of value and he's not to be like a slave. You know, is the idea, and that was fun. And you got like some really interesting sequences, the train robbery. But then you also got like the goofy scenes where it's just like a bantha, you know,
and just like, oh my god, it's like him like bouncing on the speeder, smiling like a doofus. I'm like, this is Boba Fett.
Yeah,
like,
and it, listen, like the communication between them is just really off. You know,
we said back in our Mandalorian season 2 episode, or at least I said that I'm like, you know, we finally got to be shown Boba Fett as badass as he always was said to be, and how it's like, oh, I mean, I wanted more Boba Fett after that. And then somewhere off in the distance, a monkey's paw finger curled in, and it said, well, here you go, more Boba Fett. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. That's a really great analogy.
Yeah. I just think that, like, maybe Boba Fett was not the character that needed his own show, because for one, I have this problem with a lot of prequels of anything, not all of them, but a lot of prequel stuff, a lot of flashbacks where I go, do I already know how things are going to end up in the future? Because if I do, the story has no tension. Case in point, Fennec Shand, when he rescues her and he's like, she's dying, I need to save her, and he takes her to the mod shop, and the guy's like, I'll do my best, but I don't know if I can save her or something. And I'm like, or he's like, you're gonna need money to save her, and he like gives the guy money. I'm like, but we know he's gonna save her. Like, it's already, there's no tension here. There's no question.
At that point, the only thing that scene or those flashbacks, you know, could have served was like a purpose to give Ming-Na Wen's character Fennec Shand more development at that point. And so they didn't, is the thing. It's just they just use it as a point to tell, all right, this is why that they're in association with each other, and
right,
you know. And I mean, we already got that little, you know, teaser at the end of
season, way back in season one, right?
One, exactly. But I guess like the why would have been interesting, but we didn't get that at all, you know. And then, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and then they go on this like daring, you know, sojourn into Jabba's old palace to get back the ship formerly known as the Slave One, and you're like, but we saw it. You had a whole episode of The Mandalorian where they flew around in it. Like,
yeah,
of course they get it back. Do I really think Fennec Shand's gonna die getting the Slave One back? No, she just like,
right. What? And then I know we got that goofy kitchen scene. I thought that was hilarious. I really did. But I understood, like, this is not at all the antics that we needed.
I'm like, look, in the original trilogy, this was the guy who, like, in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke is, like, creeping through Bespin, Cloud City, and he hides around a corner because he sees Boba Fett walk by, and Boba Fett just kind of looks in his direction for a second, doesn't say anything, and then when Luke peeks out, he gets shot at by Boba Fett, and then Boba Fett dips. And you're like, wow, Boba Fett's so badass, he almost killed Luke Skywalker.
Luke almost got by Bobby Fett. I feel like
more Boba Fett in this show is getting his ass beat more than he is beating ass in this show.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like they had a really great opportunity that they totally passed on. I don't know why they did this. The idea that Boba Fett was going to take over the throne of Jabba the Hutt by kind of killing Bib Fortuna and just sitting upon it. It almost felt like as if, what if he was just kind of going out of his way to take out the people that, not that he was wronged by per se, but perhaps, you know, the individuals that really got in his way in the end. Like, he just went in the Sarlacc pit and nobody ever did anything, came back to help or do any of that. And so I feel like it would have been more interesting to see him kind of go on the journey of, like, kind of taking out the head honchos of the underworld organization. And then we also wouldn't be so strapped down to Tatooine.
That's
at
true.
At the same time.
That's and I'm absolutely like, true.
What a missed opportunity there. That to explore new and unseen places.
Perhaps a John Wick of the Star Wars world.
Imagine if Boba Fett was John Wick of the Star Wars universe, Zach. That is like the greatest idea ever. Why aren't we in these rooms?
Oh, well.
Looks like we'll never know. This just has me thinking about, you know, the lovely days of 2018, before the pandemic, before the rise of Skywalker.
Before
the dark times. I mean, just right me, coming off the high of The Last Jedi, the most divisive Star Wars film ever, to the announcement, and I have the Hollywood Reporter article, Star Wars Boba Fett movie in the works with James Mangold. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, I feel like this film probably would have been all we would have needed.
Can we just call this episode What Could Have Been?
I suppose.
So let's talk about the whole decision that Boba Fett makes where he's like, I'm tired of doing this bounty hunter shtick. I don't want to, and I don't want my life to end in the belly of some sand beast. Like, I want more out of life. Valid. I accept Solid. It. It's yeah. a great, it's a great character moment, and I can totally get behind that. But then he goes, so I'm going to be a crime boss. And Fennec Shand's like, why? And he goes, well, why not? And I'm like, no, why? Like, go live on a farm somewhere. Go back and help.
Just not a moisture farm, please. God.
But, like, what was the... Where's the logic behind I'm going to become a crime boss? There's no... He was only on Tatooine because Jabba the Hutt was paying him at that time.
To be on Tatooine.
Right. And we know enough about Boba Fett that, like, he was a galaxy-spanning person, you know?
Yeah. And then not to mention, you know, when I look at the show, and by the point in time where he says he wants to be a crime boss in Tatooine, right? And you look at, like, maybe the only reason why he'd stay there is just because he saw the massacre of his Tusken family, you know? But it's just like, at that time of which we find all this information, like, you know, that's really linking things. Like, okay, you know, like, I guess that's, you know, fine and dandy. But then also, like, what crime are you in charge of? Are you in charge of this lady? Are you just in charge of the area of which this club operates in that doesn't look like they're doing anything illegal in there? You know, like... Well,
my problem is he's not a crime lord. Because by the end of the season, his whole stance is the people of Mos Espa need to be protected, and I need to protect this thing. I'm like, so you're not a crime? What crime are you committing?
Yeah, he just... I think he just wanted to be the tax collector, pretty much.
Right. I mean, like, he's
a glorified fool.
His entire motivation by the end of the season is, I need to stop the spice trade in Mos Espa and Tatooine as a whole. So I'm like, okay, you're fighting crime. You're not a crime boss.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna be real snooty here. I'm gonna be a little nitpick asshole here for a second, but daimyo is not what they think a daimyo is. A daimyo.
Zach, please tell us, what is a daimyo?
So a daimyo is like a, it's a Japanese term. It's for the vassal. It was a title given to the vassals of a feudal lord in the Japanese like feudal system. So like you would have a lord, someone who would rule over an area, and the daimyo were the people who served under him, who ruled, kind of managed the smaller areas, and they served the lord. So who is he serving? He shouldn't be the daimyo. He should be the lord, and the people serving him should be the daimyo. And I'm like, I know Star Wars was founded on, like, samurai aesthetic and stuff, but, like, how do you mess that up?
Yeah.
I literally, just Google daimyo. It's literally the first definition that comes up. This isn't difficult. I know what it is. It's Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and all of them having a boner for samurai films, and they all want to be
Clever.
They want to be the modern day Akira Kurosawa, and they're just not.
Yeah. Let's talk about Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, because they definitely did not make this show any better. And here's why. Once we get past our first four episodes, we have this clear turn to something that's inadvertently way more interesting than what they positioned us with in Boba Fett. And they brought us back to The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and they certainly did.
And, you know, to no surprise to anybody, because, you know, Boba Fett and Fennec Shand are like, oh, we need friends. And then we hear the Mando. Exactly. The theme. We're like, oh, are we going to get him next episode? Not only did we get him next episode, we got him all episode long.
So, yeah, well, let's start off by saying that the previews for that episode, the promos in the week leading up to it, were all five-second promos that didn't show anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were, like, everything. It was all the scenes that they have without Pedro Pascal or
it was a lot of, like, establishing shots, or, like, a shot of, like, a spaceship, like, loading yeah. ramp where someone was walking off, and you're like, I wonder who. I guess
like that's the only 5 seconds of footage that he's not in the whole episode. Like, that's great, but I figured
if Mandalorian's gonna be in the episode, maybe he will do what Boba Fett did for his show. He'll be in the background, he will have some cool moments, but it's still gonna be Boba Fett's show.
No, he fucking stole the show, dude. He stole every moment that he was in the show from Boba Fett, and also to Boba Fett's detriment.
The worst part about the episode 5, The Return of the Mandalorian, is that it's great. It's a great episode.
It is so good. I almost wish they didn't title that episode The Book of Boba Fett. I wish they titled it The Mandalorian, because God, was it fantastic. So Here's what they did.
Yes, what did they do?
They only expanded the world of the Mandalorian. They showed consequences of what happened season one.
Right.
You know, they showed...
And season two.
And season two. Like, they gave us background on Darksaber, as if we hadn't had enough background of Darksaber before, you know? But, like, they also showed, like, somebody wielding a lightsaber that not just... You know, I know we got it from Finn and the Force Awakens,
right?
But now we get to see it like with a guy who definitely has no idea about the Jedi, and now he has to use this laser sword and like almost cuts his skin off, super violent, visceral. But it's just super cool to kind of see him like go about his journeys
on a quote unquote planet that is totally not a copyright infringement.
Yeah. Kind of like Halo out here.
It's a ring world.
What's the name of the planet on in Treasure Planet, the Disney film? That's like a crescent moon shape. It almost felt like that too, just not as bright, or colorful.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, neither do I. But anyways, it's just like really great setup, and you know, we get a new starship, we get like kind of hints towards a possible return of Grogu. And I love the way that they ended episode 5, because it ended exactly the same way as episode 4 ended.
Right.
And it's just like, it's like, oh, we need friends. And then, you know, allusion to Mando. And Mando's like, I need a friend, allusion to Grogu. And the next episode, it's Grogu alluding to, like, the little fish eggs that he had. And then the next one, it's the fish eggs alluding to something else. And it's like, it's this never-ending Seth MacFarlane-style Family Guy joke.
So, yeah, it's just... Okay, so I really liked episode 5. Even though even when I was watching it, I was kind of in disbelief of, like, did they really just omit Boba Fett from an entire episode of the Book of Boba Fett? And, but at the end of the day, I was like, hey, that was a fun episode. You know, he got the Naboo speeder. We got Pelimoto, who...
What's it called, the N1 Starfighter?
Yeah, you know, God damn it. I was annoyed by her in season 1, but Amy Sedaris is really growing on me. In this show, every time she appears, she gets more and more enjoyable. So I gotta say, I've been warmed to Pelimoto.
That's good.
And then I was watching episode 6, and I'm like, "We're really doing it, huh? We're really going
just forgetting about our titular character.
Two episodes of Boba, going two episodes of Book of Boba Fett, and no Boba Fett. Man, but I didn't like episode 6 nearly as much as episode 5, which I'm sure to any of the true Star Wars fans out there, that's blasphemy, because how could you not like Luke Skywalker?
I'll tell you what, I was pleasantly surprised to get Luke Skywalker and Ahsoka.
What
and
the thing is, was the point?
The thing is, Zach, is that it had nothing to do with the season. I liked it for the same reason that I liked The Mandalorian.
Do you remember the scene? Yeah, do you remember the scene in episode 6 where it cuts back to Tatooine and they're all kind of doing this strategy meeting, and Boba Fett's there, and we see him for all of literally, like, I think 2 minutes of the episode, and he doesn't say a word. It's his own show, and he doesn't get a speaking line.
Yeah. And I think Tamara Morrison's agent didn't fight hard enough for him.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck is going on with this show, but it was... So I'll tell you the thing why I didn't like episode 6 really all that much is because I felt, again, it was just Star Wars doing fan service over telling a compelling story. So... we see Luke Skywalker. Cool. The deepfake has gotten a lot better than in the end of Mandalorian season 2.
There's still some iffy parts, but there are some parts that looked incredible. Like they almost got it. Like, it wasn't as consistent, but when it was really great, it was. When it wasn't, you still noticed.
And it was cool to see him. I felt that if that was Mark Hamill voicing him, I've heard much better performances by Mark Hamill. I thought a lot of the line delivery was stiff and wooden, and there was a lot of inconsistency sentence to sentence. It almost sounded like
it was computer generated, dude.
Maybe. It sounded I don't doubt it. I felt like every sentence was recorded separately from each one without context.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I don't know, it really annoyed me. Seeing Luke Skywalker run around a bamboo forest with Grogu on his back in a backpack, I was like, yes, I'm a fan of Star Wars. I know what you're referencing. Why are we doing this? You know, having Luke pull out the what do you call it? The little ball that shoots lasers. I'm like, yes, I'm a Star Wars fan. I know what that is. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And then I'd say the most egregious part of it all is Luke's telling Grogu, you need to focus on your meditation. Focus, focus. And Grogu closes his eyes and he's focusing and he's meditating. And then Luke just pulls out his lightsaber and just starts doing, like, form practice in front of Grogu. And I'm like, why? Just so we can see the lightsaber?
I feel like the more egregious part, and because I know you, at least would be the time where you were to see Yoda's lightsaber being brought out. I thought you were going to be, like, livid about that, which is crazy because I thought Yoda lost his lightsaber.
Yeah, he lost his lightsaber, and apparently I was reading about this online that the last we'd seen it was being destroyed in one of the Marvel comics. one of the Marvel Star Wars comics, pretty much right after Palpatine defeated him in the council room, council chamber, that it was destroyed. So it's like, why does he have it? I don't care. That didn't bother me so much because I liked the ultimatum of, like, choose the Jedi or choose the Mandalorian way, but you can't have it both. And I like a nice emotional ultimatum, but it was just like, we don't need to see Luke whip out his lightsaber and do forms. I don't need to see Luke practicing. I know Luke is a extremely talented Jedi, yeah. And literally the only reason it was there just so we can be like, oh, look, it's Luke's green lightsaber. It's stupid and I don't like it. Another thing, why is Ahsoka Tano here? I mean this more than any other appearance she has had in anything. Why is she here? The last time we saw her in season 2, her whole reason for being there was she was tracking down the location for Thrawn.
Yeah.
And last time we see her, she goes, where is Thrawn? And it was like, ooh, so when we get to her show, it's going to be her tracking down Thrawn, and that's what she's going to be doing. Next time we see her, she's chilling on a planet just watching Luke train a baby.
Yeah.
A baby who she actively said, I will not be party to train this creature.
So here's where we started getting into the fundamental issue about Star Wars today that I think I realized this recently, and you also did too. It's that Star Wars is comprised of a lot of these characters, universes, stories, far, far away, and very similar themes. And they just don't want to get out from underneath. In fact, it's seemingly about them just wanting to make all these people and characters interact more and more possible. However, the way that they position their shows, at least in the live-action films, TV series, excuse me, is that they're trying to cut them off while also leading a lot of hints to, like, you know, what's going to come next in other series. And I feel like this is a very Marvel approach. Disney thinks it works with them, so why can't we apply the same format to make Star Wars incredibly successful? And here is the difference. It's that, you know, while Marvel is predominantly, you know, issue and publication-based, and they got to... And they had all that established way before they even purchased the property. And they thought, okay, the best way for us to put these films together, you know, with Kevin Feige at the helm, is to then just take whatever bits and pieces of stories, adapt them the way we can, and then present them on screen.
They mimicked the format of comic book releases.
Exactly. And so the thing is that does not and cannot apply to Star Wars, and the only time for them to be able to try to do something like that was at the very inception when they said we're going to bring more Star Wars to screen again. But then they decided, oh, you know what, all this expanded universe literature and everything that we have, we're going to do away with it, we're going to start from the beginning, Star Wars will become a multi-publication and film deal, and everything is going to be additive to everything and nothing will be different. And that lies the problem, because now everything we see on screen has to be new or has to be, you know, in partnership with, like, the book that comes out or the comic that comes out or, you know, yeah, anything like that.
And I think about how, like, you watch Solo, a Star Wars film, right? A Star Wars story. Yeah. And yeah, you watch that entire film, and you're like, okay, whatever, it's decent, it's not great, it exists. But then in the end, the stinger at the end is Darth Maul. And you're like, but what does that have to do with Han Solo?
Right. It only has something to do with Star Wars as a greater whole. And that's the issue, is that, you know, when we think about Star Wars in general, we think about, and specifically the original and even the sequel trilogies, that they were always just Star Wars. In fact, it wasn't until the sequel trilogy came out that we started calling all this, the nine films, the Skywalker saga. Right. We never positioned it, and I think that's a failure of the marketing to position all those, that's only about the Skywalkers. Like, stop doing that. You had all these other characters and all these other stories that helped spawn everything that we had in the animated series and now the live action shows. And now you're shooting yourselves in the foot because you tell us that you're going to give us a show about Boba Fett. You tell us Temuera Morrison is back, the guy who played Jango Fett and all the clone troopers. We know the connection. We've seen him in you know, we saw The Mandalorian season one, season two. Okay, like, that was interesting, but, you know, season two, it showed us a lot of other things. We saw an Ahsoka Tano, we saw a Boba Fett, you know, we're bringing back Bo-Katan and all these other characters. Like, wow, this starts to be, you know, a little less The Mandalorian, more of all this. So why in the hell are you going to come bring us into the show about Boba Fett the Bounty Hunter, you know, show us his new dynamic on Tatooine, and then take a two-episode break to talk about anything but Boba Fett? So the only way to fix that in reality is just look at what other series and programmings are doing, especially like in the genre. Star Wars is now becoming like live action, kind of drama-esque with their sci-fi elements and everything, but they're obviously looking for, you know, a way to widen their audience. There's you know, more adult themes at times. Also, things are very silly and very, you know, childish as well.
Right.
But like, look at Game of Thrones. Look at how many characters Game of Thrones juggled through. Look at all the episodes and all the stories that they told. All in, what is all, it, like, an hour format? You know,
all
like,
of them separate and taking place in different parts of this expansive world. So we got to see different parts of it.
Yeah.
But slowly building to these crescendos and having rising action and falling action and climaxes and new beginnings and characters being wiped out and all of it building to a point when you finally get to the end and them all coming together in one big thing.
And, all right, another example. Look at Fargo. Fargo, every season has taken place in a separate decade, all somehow correlating certain events or certain characters to one another. Star Wars benefits from having four very important decades that they look at in their franchise. That was, you know, during the height of the Republic, we have the height of the Empire, we have the Resistance and the, you know, the First Order, and now we have like this weird period where it's the New Republic that we're exploring. And it's just, okay, so why not every season, if you want to explore other characters or other stories, you can kind of jump back and forth, and it doesn't, nobody will be the wiser because it's Star Wars and it'll be like cool as shit.
So, you know, like, yeah, this,
like, all these fundamentals are there and available for you. We've seen it. Other programs do it. And it almost fits so perfectly with Star Wars. And yet they choose to pigeonhole themselves. and I just don't know what to think anymore outside of like.
So like this leads to a note I put where it's like, okay, we look at the end of season two. And it ends with, I'm trying to remember, did it end with, it ends obviously with Boba Fett killing Bib Fortuna, taking the throne. And did it say, like, Boba Fett will be back? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it'd be like Boba Fett will return in the Book of Boba Fett.
Okay, right. So here's my question. Was there a mandate at Lucasfilm to make the Book of Boba Fett? Were they required to make it? Was this decision they made after some good, maybe some good test screenings of Boba Fett's appearance in Mando? Or did they decide even before production had started that, yes, this is, we're going to spin this off into it? And it's, and the, you know, answer to that may be seen in how they were also going to do a New Republic series that was going to focus on what's her name? Cara Dune, before Gina Carano put her foot in her mouth. But
at the same time, it just like at this point, I don't even know if I want any of those in the form of they're going to be giving us.
No, sure, exactly.
Look at what you've already done with the Clone Wars and even Rebels animated series. Right?
Yeah, I was. That's gonna like get
their
to that.
Best. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. My other thing, and I'll springboard into exactly what you were talking about, is was there a mandate to make the Book of Boba Fett 7 episodes? Because this show, I think, comfortably could have been 4 episodes long. And it could have been a part of, as you say, kind of in referencing Clone Wars, part of either a greater story that was being told about a particular point in time, or as an anthology series, and it would have worked so much better. I want to point to the one thing that the best thing I've seen from Star Wars since The Last Jedi. Well, I liked The Mandalorian, so maybe since The Mandalorian, but Star Wars Visions, where they gave a bunch of anime studios from Japan free reign to make whatever show they wanted. And yes, a lot of them ended up being about Jedis and lightsabers, but it was some of the most unique content we have ever received. Even though it wasn't the best episode, there was an episode all about a band that was with an escaped Padawan that survived Order 66 and was just hiding out as a musician, one of Jabba the Hutt's sons, and how they had to play a concert to save their friend. And it was probably the worst one of the batch, but it was really unique and a cool spin on Star Wars that we'd never seen before, and some of the best directed stuff ever in these cool self-contained stories. Why Star Wars doesn't just have an anthology series is beyond me.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like the format was almost supposed to be anthology pre-Last Jedi, pre-Solo. But, like, when they had announced some of the films, like, Rogue One was, like a Star Wars story was, like, their anthology format. And, I mean, like,
right, yeah,
you know, not the greatest way to market it. I feel like, you know, when they add, like, a Star Wars story, but I also think Rogue One would probably benefit so well because it all is self-contained. And
yeah.
Which fucking sucks because the idea of like an Andor series, like, yeah, sure.
That's cool. Already gotten its second season.
That has already been announced, a second season. And I'm like, did they not? Dude, you, they're not your learning. Show. Yeah, that brings me to like, am I excited for Kenobi? I have no idea.
So this is the one where I'm like, I am excited, not like the most excited I've ever been. Like, I'm excited because I really like Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Zach, here's the thing though. We already love Ewan McGregor. We already love Obi-Wan Kenobi.
What more can they change?
Do they need to add anything else to that tale?
I think they already are
changing some things, and I'm incredibly
unimpressed. Yeah, so they've already said that like Obi-Wan and Vader are going to fight again.
What?
You know, when Ewan McGregor's talking about how he and Hayden Christensen get to do scenes together again as not Obi-Wan and Vader, but Obi-Wan and Anakin, that's interesting to me, mainly because, and again, this is just fan service stuff where I go like, oh, are we going to get to see our very first live action, like the look of them during the Clone Wars where they have the clone trooper armor over their tunics and stuff? That would be cool. We've never seen that in live action. It's not compelling. The fact of the matter is this will now be our like third show set on Tatooine with characters who we know who they are. I have to think that because Joel Edgerton's coming back, Owen and Beru are going to play a bigger role in it, but at the same time, it's still Tatooine. It's still...
Yeah.
It's, like, what more could be done?
Yeah, there's a lot hanging on this. And that's the thing, it's like, do I want a lot of Hayden Christensen if the show is titled Obi-Wan Kenobi? Do we need that? Dude, we already saw Obi-Wan battle Maul in Rebels.
Yeah, and that was an excellent fight.
That's the thing. And I'm like, we don't need to explore that territory again, you know?
Yeah, I just like, here's my, like, there's points where I'm like, it could work. Because if you look at just the, purely just the movies and nothing else, Obi-Wan shouldn't know that Darth Vader is Anakin. Because he sees Anakin burn up on Mustafar, he dips, and then by the time New Hope rolls around, he knows Vader is Anakin. But unless he somehow was told beforehand, he shouldn't know. So this presents a good way that maybe he finds out that Darth Vader
I think you're right. That is good logic. That opens up an interesting opportunity for storytelling. But I also, but in the end, will it be worth it? You know, here's the thing. One of the best parts about season one of Mandalorian was Deborah Chow's leadership. She's directing. I think the writer of the Kenobi series. You know, it's funny. We're actually kind of pulling a Star Wars Lucasfilm right now. Kathleen Kennedy, by talking about everything else but Boba Fett.
But this is the point. I mean, we're talking.
It's just on theme.
We'll circle back around because I do want to talk about the finale.
There's some other world elements we need to talk about, like the cybernetic.
We'll get to all of them. Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, yeah. Kenobi.
Here's the writer for the Kenobi series is Joby Harold or Joby Harold. I think it's Joby.
Okay.
The last couple things that this gentleman has written are King Arthur: Legend of the Sword. Ugh. That's the one with Jax Teller. You know,
That's one with directed by Guy Ritchie, which I heard was not good.
He was an executive producer on Edge of Tomorrow or Live Die Repeat. If you're familiar with that,
I mean, I like the movie, but I don't like this.
Was an executive producer on John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. And I guess he did Army of the Dead. Wrote Army of the Dead for Zack Snyder. The one on Netflix.
Cool. Listen, I'm going to reserve judgment until I see it. Am I excited? Yes, because I like Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think he is the one truly saving grace of that entire trilogy, more so than anything else. And even in the worst prequel films, he is really good. But I don't know. I just... We're gonna kind of go back to talking about Boba Fett, but we will pass our judgment on Obi-Wan when
I'm just saying if Star Wars has Obi-Wan Kenobi coming up, Mandalorian season 3, Andor, Ahsoka, The Acolyte, and the Lando series all coming out, if they do not throw out every single one of these ideas and compile them all into Star Wars,
if they just made a Star Wars show,
and it's just like. The best part about it, Zach, is by organizing it as all one inclusive thing, there's no filler. Everything has to matter and lead into each other.
You don't have to dedicate an entire 4 episodes to Boba Fett if you don't want to. You can just have Boba Fett appear for 30 minutes in each episode or something.
Exactly. Anyways.
That's how they're handling Amazon's doing that with the Lord of the Rings Rings of Power. It's going to be 22 different characters and all of their individual stories leading into the major events that define the second age of Arda. So I'm, you know, like, why can't Star Wars?
Star Wars has so many, definitive moments.
Star Wars has the best reason to do it because it's exactly like you said, they have so many eras. Where as soon as one 8-season run of the Star Wars show comes to an end, they can just start over with a new one.
Yes.
I say this every episode of Star Wars we talk about this. Lucasfilm, you have the best playground to play with. Stop playing with the same toys.
Get out of the sandbox and go into the fucking pool.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, I love the one line in Book of Boba Fett when they're like, oh, you know, Tatooine used to be covered in water, and Boba Fett's like, I used to live on a planet covered in water, and they're like, good, Boba Fett, good. Let's talk about the finale. As I said, personally, I would call this episode Too Little Too Late.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk about the mods, right?
I want to go into the certain aspects of there because, you know, the finale, well, some of the bits that we took out were the mods. We didn't talk about the most un-Star Wars thing ever in the history of Star Wars, you know, which were these characters. Because, one, they just do not fit at all, and I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's, let's say, Robert Rodriguez. I don't know if it's production designers.
I don't think there's any one easy answer for it. I don't think
who thought that they were a great idea because they actually introduced a lot of like the stupidest fucking shit I've ever seen in Star Wars. Like,
yes,
the slowest speeder and like chase we've ever seen to date. Ever. It was super awkward. Not only their leading character, they gave her an accent and she definitely didn't need one. You know, Drash is Sophie Thatcher, I am almost 100% sure is American.
Sophie Thatcher. Yep, American. Got her.
Why did you need an accent to play your character? A very fake accent.
Because she wants to be like British punk. You know, she's got that Joan Jett haircut going on. And she's, I'm sorry, you live on a desert planet with two suns and you're that pale? What?
On top of that. Additionally, yeah, their whole vibe, very, I was going to say steampunk, not steampunk, cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not very fitting there's no nightlife in Mos Espa or Mos Eisley or any of these fucking places.
Star Wars at all?
No. Coruscant had nightlife. Nar Shaddaa nightlife. I'm joking.
They look like they should be in Blade Runner. They don't look like they should be in Star Wars. And I know I said this to you right when they first appeared, but I was like, what is going on with their speeders?
Yeah.
The furthest thing from Star Wars aesthetic I have ever seen.
They took a note from the Book of Luca and were like, Silencio Bruno, you know?
Vespa scooters that are clearly, like, they didn't even try to change them from Vespas.
Yeah.
And each one of them has, like, three or four or five mirrors on the side.
I just like they had like this, you know, Miss Pac-Man kind of color scheme. Each one of them was just very vibrant. I'm like, dude, this is not Tatooine at all.
As you said, when the Twi'lek, who doesn't get a name, played by what was his name? Daniel Pasquesi? David Pasquesi, when he tries to run and we get what's supposed to be a high speed chase, street chase through Mos Espa, is the most absurdly slow.
I don't know if I'd even call it a high speed chase. I'd call it the lowest.
No,
speed. In fact,
it
like
was meant
first,
to be
first gear speed.
Like, I'm watching this and I'm like, get off your bike and run.
Yeah, it's just. And in terms of world building, I felt like the world was being they were world deconstructing at that moment. It was just very easy for me to be taken out, dare I say, of the galaxy far, far away.
I watch it and I go, how can you like this? How can someone say, yep, this is Star Wars, I'm so happy
we'll sign
we're
off
here
on
now.
That. Yeah, that's not the reinvention that Star Wars is looking for. This is not the thing that they needed.
I sat there and I'm like, are you kidding me? And then, of course, there's the big thing that everyone's pointing to from the finale of when they're being shot at, and the one dude with the robot eye, he drops like, and he does a spin move and he shoots. And you're like,
I'll tell you what, I'm like, what? The moment I saw that for the very first time I watched the episode, I was like, what the hell is that?
There's also a shot in the finale where they're coming in, they're kind of like doing like a Here Comes the Cavalry moment and like flying in on their speeders, and the dude with the droid eye gets shot off his speeder as soon as he arrives and like falls on the ground, and it's like, yep, here they are, folks. The newest addition
the heroes,
to the Star Wars.
Yeah, the heroes of the Tatooine legacy.
So, yeah, let's get into the finale, because, I mean, okay, this was not the finale to the Book of Boba Fett. This was the finale to Boba and Mando, the show.
Yeah.
And Boba Fett, he got some time to shine. I'll talk about the things that I thought were great. Boba Fett, he got to do cool stuff. Mando and Grogu had a nice, touching reunion. Like I said, Pelimoto, she's growing on me. But literally, I think that's about it. Like, okay, the Rancor effects were good. But the mods, the people from Freetown, Black Kersantan, and Fennec Shand do absolutely nothing in the entire finale.
Yeah.
They shoot.
They're holding off. They're holding the line, so to speak.
And there is some egregious inconsistencies in Black Kersantan's, like, injuries. Because, like, in one scene, he'll be limping and, like, literally dragging his foot. And in the next, he's just, like, hoofing it around the streets and stuff.
Another bit, too, is that they were still vastly undermanned to even think that they could fight these people. I almost feel like fleeing Tatooine, one of the ideas that was circled around, should have been the option, because it probably would have made us, you know, take a much better approach elsewhere. And, like,
Except that this was directed by Robert Rodriguez, and of course he wants to have his Western-style shootout in a saloon town, and, you know, he wants to have his high noon fight.
You know, we had that in episode 6.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
And let's talk about Cad Bane's introduction into the live action stuff, because I know you're not as familiar with him.
I didn't watch Clone Wars. When I saw him, I said I recognize him from Clone Wars.
But the thing is that, like, he totally did not need to be in this. The only reason why he was in the show is because Dave Filoni didn't get to use his footage from Clone Wars where Boba Fett and Cad Bane have their final shootout. And they showed it on one Star Wars Celebration a number of years ago, and, you know, that was cool, but I'll be honest, I'm very happy that they didn't just reuse it almost exactly shot for shot and everything and just use that as the storyboard, but they changed it up, and I commend them for that bit. You know, they actually made the kind of scene between Boba and Cad Bane, that final duel, like, really, you know, very interesting. The choreography was different, and just the moves were great. But at the same time, like, Cad Bane's introduction was like, Boba Fett is a cold-blooded killer that used to work for the Empire.
And then 2 seconds later, he's like, blam, blam, blam. He's just killing the deputy. I'm like,
I don't know. It just seemed very off. At the same time, like, you know, a lot of people were going online to do, like, their VFX versions of how he could have looked. He could have looked a little better, too. You know, it wasn't, like, the worst. It was cool seeing him there. But at the same time, like, this guy's supposed to be, like, 70 years old at this point. And I don't know the Duros, you know, how
to quote how one they IG, live. To quote one IG-11, or IG-88. What's the one from the first season?
IG-88, I think,
some species age differently.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, great and all, but, like, you know, just watching them kind of have, if you have no idea who the hell this guy is, because I don't even think they say his name until, like, the very last second of his screen time, you know, like, what the fuck does this even matter?
Yeah, this is
so random.
For me, I was like, I had to look up a lot of the context of who this dude was and why he's there and why I should care.
Exactly. It's like, not that you have to explain everything, but, I mean, this is literally the first time he will have been on screen in a
live
film,
action,
a live action or whatever, TV. And I'm like, all right, that kind of warrants, like, some form of explanation, you know,
it goes to that thing we always say, is who is this for? Is it for, it's not for the people who don't know who he is, because we go, who? I'm sorry? And then it's not for the fans, because the fans go, well, you could have done it better.
Yeah.
He also didn't sound the same, because you sent me some clips, and I'm like, he definitely sounds different.
I mean, his voice isn't the worst. It was close enough, you know, and I'll accept it. And, you know, I accept him overall, but, I mean, again, like, I had the knowledge, but it's kind of like what we said. Imagine going to Mandalorian Season 3 without seeing Book of Boba Fett. You're going to be super confused.
Yeah, you finish Season 2, and, like, you get this tearful goodbye from Mando.
Let's say you have no interest in watching Book of Boba Fett. Good for you, by the way.
And you're like, I just care about Mando. And you start watching Mando, and you're like, I guess Grogu's back?
What the hell happened?
Also, I think the whole, like, chainmail, Beskar chainmail shirt he got Grogu's fine. Grogu's gonna grow out of that, like, really fast.
No, he's been that little since he was, you know, 30 years okay, old.
Maybe he'll...
Maybe in 100 years he'll grow out of it.
That's and then fair.
He, can fuck off then.
Fuck off.
Mando will be dead by then.
Why can't we have a Star Wars Succession? That would be great.
Imagine Brian Cox as...
Boba Fett, get out of my office. Fuck off.
No, I want to talk... Boba Fett's kind of like Kendall.
Yeah, he is kind of exactly.
Yeah.
But I wanna talk about the Chekhov's gun of Book of Boba Fett, which is okay. He gets a rancor, right? And the rancor. First of all, I hate this idea of like, oh, rancors aren't actually dangerous monsters. Rancors are actually the pit bulls of the Star Wars world. They seem vicious. Only if they're raised that way, but they're actually angels.
They're actually big babies. I have to say, babies,
I hate
it. As a pit bull enthusiast,
I love pit bulls. Listen, I'm not saying that pit bulls are bad. I'm just saying that, like, I hate
rancors are like, you know, they are meant to be monsters.
The rancor is one of the standout moments of Return of the Jedi, a movie that is filled with silly stuff intended only for children, and then you have this giant monster that is literally like snapping bones in its mouth and eating Gamorrean guards. Don't turn it into a puppy. make it it's a rancor. And of course, yes, we do get a rancor rampage. I was reminded of Star Wars Kinect watching this finale, because
I'll be honest, I never played it. I only watched the videos of Han Solo dancing.
Friend of the show, Jared Miller, had a Star Wars Kinect, and we would play it just to see what stupid games there were. And one of them is Rancor Rampage, where you're the Rancor and you rampage through like Mos Eisley and stuff.
Oh no!
So this felt very much like that. But I couldn't help but like kind of shake my head where the whole conceit of this finale, of this final stand, is the Pike syndicates, they want to destroy Mos Espa, and we're here to defend it. And by the end of the episode, Boba Fett has done more damage to Mos Espa with his rancor than any of the Pike syndicate.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Man, the Pikes blew up the one bar Mos Espa had.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So, excuse me. The Rancor demolished multiple buildings and tore their biggest tower apart. I hate that the ultimate win went to Grogu. I'm like, why is the show called Boba Fett if he is not the one? Why did they establish that the Rancor was going to imprint on Boba Fett and not have Boba Fett stop it?
Yeah. Also, I just love that when Boba Fett left to go get the Rancor, he also got, like, another missile from his closet.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow. You're like, oh, what do I need before I go back to battle? I need to brush my teeth. I need to check my email. I have to take the Rancor out really quickly, or else he gets too excited. You know, like...
make a Rancor poopy.
I'm just, like, trying to think of, like, what the hell... was he doing?
Like, did you like Boba Fett's knee rockets?
You know.
When he was like, and pose.
Yeah. It's just, this show is full of poses, if you think about it.
Listen, there was some cool stuff in the finale, like the sweeping shots of like Mando and Boba Fett like shooting and having their big final stand.
I thought he was going to go get the fire spray ship. The ship formerly known as Slave One, you know, like
that would have been helpful. There was that really cool moment in the flashback where he picked up the ship formerly known as Slave One and then just decimated the biker gang. Like that was cool.
Yeah, that seemed like it worked in that kind of situation. It almost seemed like it would have also worked in this situation.
Also,
too.
Can we talk about how stupid of a scene it was of Boba Fett like going like, I need to go back to the Sarlacc pit to get my armor that may or may not be there. Like, I hated that scene. I thought it was so stupid.
Yeah. It was, like, whack. I mean, I kind of liked it, but also, like, you know. I thought there was this whole idea that you knew Cobb Vanth had it. Remember?
Yeah, I mean, of course we knew. But Boba Fett didn't know.
No, Boba in Season 2 Mandalorian, he's there. It's like, you got my armor back from Cobb Vanth on Tatooine. You know?
Oh my god. Fuck this show.
There were just a lot of inconsistencies. Another one that we didn't mention in episode 5, when the armorer takes the spear and turns it into
chainmail. Yes, yes.
She says that, like, oh, we can't use Beskar for weapons.
By the way, says, here are some singing birds, whistling birds.
Whistling birds. Also, you know, my, like, Beskar hammer and other things that I used
That I absolutely used to cave in a stormtrooper's face.
So, and you know, there's just a lot of bits and pieces.
I think they wrote this show and never once went back to, like, streamline. Listen, I write. I write a lot. I try to write as much as I can. And I'm not saying I'm a good writer or I'm a better writer than them.
You're better than Stephanie Meyer. We've established that.
Thank you. But I constantly go back and I'm like, I need to clean that up in the back to you know, now that I've written this, and I need to go back and I need to make sure it all works. And there's a logic to everything, but it doesn't feel like that happened here.
I feel like, you know, Lucasfilm Star Wars is a big enough company to have, like, a fact checker, a Star Wars fact checker.
Well, most of these shows,
or what do they call? No, they call them, like, not a historian. A
Bible. Most of the shows they make a Bible that it's like, this is everything you need for the show. These are your rules, your logic.
They did an episode of, like, the actual Star Wars show on YouTube a number of years ago, where they have somebody who is an expert on every information Star Wars. Their job is supposed to go through and make sure that there's no inconsistencies with, like, the lore or just things that they've done. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself now, like, oh my god, where was this? He on lunch break? You know, did nobody give him?
Oh, well. God. Let's just talk about, like, where this season ends. So obviously they chase off the pikes. The episode ends, and Boba Fett, he is now, it just transitions to he's the ruler of Mos Espa, quote unquote crime lord. And he's loved by his people. He's like, why is everyone bowing to me? And they're like, oh, it's what you wanted. Why are you complaining, you asshole? And it ends with, like, a really cheesy lineup of him and Fennec Shand and Black Kersantan and the mods all standing around and, like, kind of cheesily laughing at each other like it's some stupid sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. It's a wet fart of an ending. But that's not the ending, because it ends on the Mandalorian and Grogu. I'm like, it's not their fucking show.
And we get the post-credits scene, the mid-credits scene of Cobb Vanth.
Yes, and I put here, I didn't know who that was supposed to be. I was like, what is this mid-credits scene?
Which is crazy, because it's like, he told Black Kersantan he gets to use the back to tank or whatever. And then, like, 5 seconds later, I'm like, oh wow, that was a quick bath. You know, he's back from the back to tank. And then it's like, oh, I guess it wasn't him. It's Cobb Vanth.
Cobb Vanth and the armorer. So is Cobb Vanth going to come back as, like, a cyborg?
Yeah.
Not the armorer, the modder, the guy who.
Apparently, he's a famous guy who plays the modder. He's a musical artist.
Right. Yeah, but the whole thing, like, I guess it was the way that maybe the angle, but I couldn't tell that was Timothy Oliphant at first. How does Bacta liquid not go up their noses in a Bacta tank?
It probably does. That's why he wears the thing over his mouth.
It didn't know. It just goes in his mouth. Well, see, I...
Oh, you know what's funny? In the original Star Wars trilogy, it went over Luke's nose.
Does
it? Yeah. Also, Luke, did you realize that Phil Lamar played the Pike boss?
Like, that doesn't surprise me.
Samurai Jack himself.
Phil Lamar is an absolute talent in the industry, let me tell you.
You're
right. So Luke, back in episode 5, yes, when he was in the Bacta tank, it goes over his nose. Not in this. I'm like, how do they not have Bacta liquid just going up their nose and dying every time they use it?
Yeah.
But honestly, just the ending annoyed me so much, because I'm like, yes, okay, Mandalorian in the N1 Naboo starfighter is cool, and I like that he doesn't have an astromech. I like that Grogu's got a little seat behind him. I like it, sure. Why are we seeing it? It's the show. I hate it so much. It's like, why did you make a Boba Fett show if you didn't want to make a Boba Fett show?
Yeah. I agree.
Chris, when is modern Star Wars gonna stop hurting me?
Once we start getting, I don't know, we need to get into that office. We need to bust ourselves in the room. We gotta introduce who we are. We gotta say, I just don't know how to, and the thing is, I don't know who to blame. Do I blame Kathleen Kennedy?
I don't.
Do I blame Jon Favreau? Do I blame Dave Filoni?
I would say, I don't want to blame Dave Filoni, but so much of it has his DNA. He treated this series like he treated Clone Wars, in that
the issue is like that it wasn't a problem that he treated like Clone Wars. The problem is that he wasn't given a Clone Wars format for live action.
But I think it's he, as a smart, free thinking human, should be like, oh yes, this is a 7-episode run. I shouldn't.
That's the
disappear
thing.
Like, for I shouldn't.
Imagine if they were given 10 episodes. A single show, a season, and 10, and it would every season. And it's not like 20 shows like we're getting. It's just one. It's 10 episodes every season, or more or less, or whatever. And everything is just important shit and not.
Here's the antics. Cool thing about that is not every plot point has to be wrapped up by the end of the season.
That's the thing. That's the beauty of it.
Man, why couldn't Boba Fett have been like. The Book of Boba Fett been the John Wick of the Star Wars universe. I don't...
Like we thought of. I would have loved to see that.
If you're listening to this, if you've come this far, I implore you, show this episode to everyone. I want the word to go out. This is what Star Wars should be. Not what Boba Fett was. Not what Star Wars has become. It doesn't work this way. You have these momentary spots where you go, here's some fan service, and the fans get that hit of dopamine, and then all you're left with was a not well made show,
an empty shell of the former greatest bounty hunter known to man.
Yeah, seriously, I just like, come on, make sure everyone you know hears this. I don't think this is like, listen, I'm not saying we fixed Star Wars, but it's not difficult.
I mean, well, it's just they have the experience behind them to do something's great. They can look at what the industry is doing at large around them. And they have to embrace the fact that they are not Marvel. They are very different from Marvel. They do not have, they benefit from something else entirely. And it's not that they can. It's not that they can put everything together, even though the show's only supposed to be about one person. They can put everything together because they have this big conglomerate that we have simply put as the galaxy far, far away. So fucking act like it.
Yeah, seriously.
I
don't know what more we can say on it. We have spoken our piece. Star Wars needs to change in a big way. I can't believe that there is an Obi-Wan Kenobi series coming out in a few months, and I'm not blindingly excited for it. I am at
I used to be more excited for it, but now after seeing this, I am like, I'm super worried.
And it's crazy when you think about it, when you're like, we're getting another show, another series set on Tatooine. Was there no one in the room when they make these decisions going, well, hey, maybe we want to do something else. Maybe we want to go somewhere else. Who is in there going, no, we have to go back. The fans love Tatooine. The fans love the familiar characters. We can't, this series does not survive unless we keep playing the hits.
Yeah. They're not the radio, bro. They are, like, I don't know. I don't know what else to say outside of that. I think you and I both kind of settled that we'd give Book of Boba Fett a solid 5 out of 10.
If I'm feeling
maybe
generous.
A 4. Yeah, 4. And I say the 4 points of contention of why is The Mandalorian. I'll even add the Darksaber in there, me personally. The new Starfighter and Grogu. And the last final bit was probably, Boba riding that Rancor was pretty cool. But that's it. And
that's really it.
4 of those, none of them were Boba Fett. And that is such a shame. if I was Tamara Morrison, happened.
If I was Tamara Morrison, I'd be pissed.
I would fight for your right, bro, because you can obviously do it and do it better. And whoever the hell was in charge, like, also, you don't need the same people in charge of everything. You know who's in charge of the Marvel Universe? Kevin Feige. And he disperses the creative... Like, there's a reason why Guardians of the Galaxy has its own identity versus, like, you know, anything that the Russo brothers had, you know? There's a reason why they spoke differently. They, you know, Jon Favreau did Iron Man, and it was very different from Doctor Strange. In fact, Doctor Strange is going to be, again, different because now Sam Raimi is on Doctor Strange.
Right, right.
John Watts and Peyton Reed had their own ideas. And all, you know, all the associated writers and everybody involved in the... And, like, if they just need to understand, maybe have different people operate the show so it's not all the same stuff. Or, as we said, just make it embrace that everything is the same and make it all cohesive then. And don't try to pigeonhole yourselves...
Right.
Into the fucking sand planet. just stop.
A whole galaxy to play with. Endless possibilities. Use them. Just
start playing. Those are my thoughts.
Those are my thoughts.
We have spoken. Zach, we will wait to see what happens. I'm going to pray tonight in my sleep that I dream of what could have been James Mangold's Boba Fett film. Because it's just too good.
And I'm going to cry myself to sleep knowing that Star Wars will never be what I want it to be. So I think that just about wraps it up for this...
For these Star Wars hoes.
For this wonderfully angsty and upset episode of Script or Screen...
If you haven't unsubscribed now, it's a better chance to keep subbing because... Listen,
I will never promise as a host of this podcast to cater to what the fans want most. I always go with what makes the most sense from a artistic standpoint.
Also, I talk about what I like and what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd say it's my show. It's our show. It's your show. You know, we call dips. If you don't like what we think, do your own show.
Yeah, seriously. But just know I will never pander to fans because I thought Luke Skywalker's green lightsaber was so cool. Anyway.
I think it's cool.
That's all I have to say. I'm done talking now.
Well, Scriptor Screeners, lovely listeners, this has been your number one source for 61% average audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. For the Book of Boba Fett. I love that score. That's a great audience score. Thanks. The audience was almost right. 20% too high. Remember, you can find Script or Screen on our website, www.scriptorscreen.com or anchor.fm/scriptorscreen. All of our past, present, and future episodes will be available across all your favorite audio listening, podcast listening platforms. Find us on social media at Script or Screen, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Leave us a comment. Share us with your friends. Let us know what you thought about the Book of Boba Fett. Was it hot garbage? Was it your favorite thing ever? Are you actively seeking professional psychological help? Till next time.
Bye.